Thank you, Debbie. That was lovely. It's good to be able to come to the end of another year and yet looking forward to a year ahead. And I suppose if we were to look back at the year past and think upon all the things that we've studied this week as to what God is, maybe there's one more thing that might come to our mind that we would have to say tonight that God is. If we look behind and then bring our mind's eye to the present moment, we'd have to say, God is good. I think that in the Word of God, the goodness of God is shown to us not only in goodness in virtue, for it has that meaning, but it is principally of God's goodness in His generosity and His desire to give His creatures good. And if we were to take a look at the book of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 9, we get a little view of God instructing us as to what His own goodness really is. In verse 20, in speaking of the nation of Israel, as God had dealt with them along the way, He says, Thou gavest also Thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not Thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did Thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes became not old, and their feet swelled not. Verse 25, And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of goods, cisterns hewn out, vineyards and olive yards, fruit trees in abundance, so that they did eat, and were filled, and became fat, and delighted themselves in Thy great goodness. See, as well as a moral excellence of goodness of God, when we look at the goodness of God in the Word of God, He brings us to His loving kindness. He brings us to His desire to shed His tender mercy upon His people. And so when we look at Israel, He said, Thou gavest also Thy good spirit to instruct them. Isn't it wondrous? In the goodness of God, He never calls His people, starts them down a path, and then say, take off on your own, I've had it. You never see a real parent, as it teaches its children to walk, to just take a child that has just barely learned to stand and walk them out here and push their fingers loose and let them go. No, you watch a parent as it trains his little ones to walk. And there's a training, a step at a time. And then finally it's bringing them near to something. So it takes that little step in reaching out so it can catch on to something. Sort of a step in faith. And you know, that's the way God leads His people along. And God cares for us in His goodness every step of the way. Thou gavest Thy good spirit to instruct them. Now if I was just to take His goodness to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 2, and see what Romans 2 says that His goodness is, He says it was His goodness that brought us to repentance and taught us to believe. And so tonight, we can see from what He gave to Israel, His spirit to instruct them. What did He give to us? He brought us to repentance. A repentance is a change of mind that brings a change of action. It is an agreeance with God as to His part, telling me where I stand. And then a true repentance is going to make me turn and agree with God. And so it was the goodness of God that brought us to repentance and taught us to believe. I love that because I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the work of salvation is His work And he accomplishes it in our hearts. He brought us to repentance and taught us to believe. Now in so doing, what did he give us? He gave us the same as he gave Israel, only he gave it in a stronger sense. He gave an indwelling spirit to indwell this individual. And so that I could have the teaching of the light and the guide and the director in my life to carry me along the way. Now if you were to take a look in your mind's eye in the past year and you see the path you've trod, what if at this moment you could know the whole path for next year, some of us would sit and shudder. And it is in God's goodness that he hasn't revealed it to us, but it's goodness that carries us along. And so as we look behind, we can see God's hand in his goodness bringing us along, teaching us, giving us good things. God delights to give good things. He says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Wow. Have you ever pushed your heart to that test of faith? When there was something out here that you saw was God-honoring, that was a good thing, that would bring glory to God, and yet you wondered in your own faith, could I reach to it? And then you heard his Spirit teach. And you heard his Spirit say, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He is a good God. And because he is a good God, a perfection of God, goodness, then that his desire is that he would give good things to his own. And he says that's a great goodness, a great goodness. Now, as far as Israel was concerned, well, he said they didn't lack anything. Their clothes didn't become old. Their feet didn't swell. He brought them into a land where they had wells they didn't dig, vineyards they didn't plant, harvests they didn't plant. They had houses that they didn't build. But he gave them a warning back in the book of Deuteronomy. Beware, lest when ye enter into the land and ye eat and are filled and ye forget God. Beloved, I'd like to encourage our hearts tonight to do as he instructed Israel, to look back and remember the way that the Lord led you. We're going forth onto a new year. And there may be some serious things that come into our lives. And we would be prone to say, is God a good God to bring this? Yes, he is. He is a good God because that's one of his characters. That's his attribute. God is good. And that isn't going to change. And so in the providence of God, when some of the things come that we don't think are so good, we still have to look and say, God is. A few years ago, my own heart was pushed to the test of this. 2 years ago, on New Year's Eve, I stood up to give a little word, and I no more than opened my mouth when it just seemed a black cloud descended upon me. And I couldn't understand it. It just seemed that it came to oppress and to push down inwardly in spirit, yet when I was rejoicing in the things of God. And before too many months went by, I learned that there was something black that came into the life that would have been rather difficult had I had seen it at that moment. But yet, I could come to the place of saying, God is good. And you know we can quote Romans 8:28 so easily. When we're hale and hearty, and when all our family is well. But when one who is young is brought down with affliction that seems possible to reach an end, And your own heart says inwardly, my God. And then you turn to see a good God. And he says, all things work together for good. Why? Because God's good. And God is working. Remember, in his sovereign will, he works. And so that sovereign will is in his goodness, in his holiness, in his love. They all blend together. And so as he works, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are thee called according to his purpose. And then the heart can quietly rest and say, God is good. God is good. So many times we say, when we've got the tender mercies, and we're so thankful we received them, we say, God is good. And yet when seemingly catastrophe hits our life, we aren't so quick to say, God is good. But yet he is good. And he is good in totality. And you know the psalmist says in Psalm 34:1, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, it needs on our part a going out to God when our faith is tested and things seem negative. Then is when we must open that heart and open that light and open it to him and taste and see. The Lord is good. And that comes through a trust. A resting in God's way is best. A resting in his way. And knowing that his way is good. My, there's an old Scotchman dying. We've got a lot of Scotchmen here, so I'll pick on you. But there was an old Scotchman dying. And somebody said to him, oh, brother, have you had a glimpse of the Lord? And he sort of stiffened up with the little strength he had left. He said, a glimpse of the Lord? Don't give me that, he said. I've had a full view of him all my life. And you know, the full view comes when we've tasted and we've fed on him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then, you know, the Word of God teaches us that his name is good. We rejoice sometimes in the names of God. He says in the Psalms, in Psalm 54 and verse 6, I will praise thy name, for it is good. And when he's talking about his name, he's talking about the throne and all it represents. He is talking about God in totality. He's not talking about the name Jesus. That's only a little part. He is talking of God, perfect, complete, eternal. His name is good. And that's a good thing, to remember that. That when we get pushed to the limit, that we can remember God's name is good. He's as good as his name, and he is even as his name. And he will do good. We can rejoice in that. What a perfect name. His works are good. Have you ever sat down with the first chapter of the book of Genesis and heard it say, and it was good? After every work he did in creation, he saw that it was good. A perfect work. And I think, what about the work in salvation? That he perfected at Calvary's cross. A complete work and a good work. A work so perfect, and out of a heart that wanted to give, God so loved
through James. Now James says, every good gift. I like that. And every perfect gift comes down from above. Why every good gift? And why every perfect gift? Because it could only come from a giver who was good. That's why the gift became good. That's why the gift was perfect, because the giver was good, and the giver is perfect. And he gives it. And we're the recipients of his goodness. We're the recipients. My, you know, God wants us to praise him for his goodness. Look at the 107th Psalm. The 107th Psalm is a psalm that first came to my attention years ago at a watch night service just like this. And that verse says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. And so immediately as I saw the goodness of God, tied with the goodness of God was his mercy. That's his pity. That's his compassion. That's the tender heart of God. With his goodness is his loving kindness. That's a kindred love. That's a parental love. That's a full love. It's used in the Word of God concerning the stork in contrast in her care of her young. God is one that will never let its own go, but will care for it forever. And so this psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out. But then he describes them. They were hungry and thirsty in the fifth verse, and their soul fainted in it. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth in the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Over and over in this psalm, it takes us to man. It takes us to man in his need and in his failure. And then it takes us to man in his repentance when he turns to God. And then it lifts us to God because he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them out of all their distresses. And our own heart can say, my, one time I remember when this heart of mine cried, and God's goodness delivered it. We've heard of some who were saved in their young years, and so was I. I was only about 12. Only I didn't come from a home that had everything where there was a devotion in the home and a Christian father and a Christian mother. Because my father walked out on my mother when I was less than a year old. And I knew something of children's homes and places like that. And until a stepfather took us, and he took my three brothers and myself, and I was the youngest of the four. And we moved to Wisconsin, and in that little rural area where we moved, I was only about 6. We'd been going to a Lutheran Sunday school. And then some dear sister and brother from a meeting in Milwaukee decided to come out and start a little meeting in a home right behind our home. And because my mother knew that dear lady as someone who knew the Lord, as soon as they started that little Sunday school, she took us out of that Lutheran Sunday school and she put us there. And you know, it was there in that little place. It was a home then, but not too long went by and we built a little chapel. They did. It wasn't much bigger than that house. Had a little pot-bellied stove in it. I used to go as a boy and help that dear old sister who cared for the place call the coal and things for her. But I can remember us sitting just a little ways back in that little room and hear a man preach night by night, kicking me over the flames of hell and me breaking out in a sweat.
and hearing a little voice on my shoulder say, just take it easy, Rick. Take it easy. In a little while, it'll all be over. And you can get outside and you'll forget the whole thing. And every night I listened to that voice. It was a voice that spoke just as plain as my voice to me. Only it was my heart that was hearing. And the last night that man turned his message and he began to preach on the love of God. And that night it went home to the heart of a boy sitting back there who never said a word to anyone. And the chapel that night, sitting right where I was, I said, oh, Father, thank you for a love like that. And I received his love that night. I went by that preacher. He'd ask every night if he got saved, and I used to run a race to the door to beat him there, just so I wouldn't have to lie to him. But you know, I got out on that street, and I started down that street, and my mother was coming up the street this way. It was dark, was in a rural area, no sidewalks or anything, and she was coming to meet her 12-year-old boy. And I saw her. Mother had several other children by that time. I saw her coming about a half a block away, and I started running toward her, and I yelled, oh, Mom, I got saved tonight. And I can remember those arms that went out around that little boy. I had a Christian mother. And I can only thank God that he's a good God. A good God. The goodness of God that brings us to repentance. See, there was a little boy's heart that cried, and he sent his word. First he sent the living word, Christ. And then he sent the written word home as an arrow to his heart. He's a good God. And he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. You know what? It's nice to praise the Lord here together, isn't it? But how blessed it is to praise the Lord for his goodness to ears that do not know him, ears who have rejected the message, maybe some who have never heard. How wonderful to praise and to bring that message to them. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He's a great God in protection. He's a good God in protection. The book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7, we read, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Beloved, when the elder years come, I read in the Word of God, there are days of trouble that come with them. Solomon, in writing in the book of Ecclesiastes, could say, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Many is the time as the years come, and the older years are here, and this house begins to break down. They're evil days. But you know, those are the days to have a heart open to the goodness of God. There where he can guard that mind, and he can protect it and keep you in the path. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. My, the Lord's pleasure is good. You know, the Lord's got a good pleasure. He teaches us in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke's Gospel chapter 12 and verse 32. He said, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, as our lives progress, as they come and the days seem dim, he says, fear not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, beloved, we see it and have it in faith today. But one day soon in totality is going to be ours. When we shall come with Him and we shall reign with Him. This trip through, this is a wilderness journey. This trip through, we've got trials and troubles and affliction. Ah, but the next trip, and it might not be too long before the Jesus, the next trip is going to be coming with Him in glory. And reigning with Him. Because He said if we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. What a blessed place we have in the reigning with our God. He's good in forgiveness. He's good in forgiveness. The 86th Psalm and verse 5 says, "For Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon Him." The Lord is good and ready to forgive. See, in the goodness of God is His forgiveness. Now I like that, because these feet stumble, and the mind stretch, and the tongue slips, and sin comes in. But there's a good God to forgive. No, I would shudder to think that I would have to carry every sin along the path that I had committed. By this time, the burden would have been so heavy, I would have been broken in spirit. But we looked, blessed is the man whose transgression is taken off. He took away a burden, He lifted it, and He forgave. The guilt is gone. The guilt is gone. And we go by, we go through this scene now, on toward glory. Forgiven. How blessed. This forgiveness is good. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. I thought as I was sitting here, of the burden of Duma, as Isaiah gives it to us, and the cry, "Watchmen, what of the night?" I understand that the watchmen used to go up on the mount, and when the morning sacrifice was to be offered, the priest called, "Watchmen, what of the night?" And if the sun was arising and the first day of light was there, he would call back, "The morning cometh, but also the night." Now there's been a night that came because of sin. And I think the day Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, darkness began to descend. And the day the world turned against God, that He had to bring such a great judgment, how dark was that day. But how dark was the day when they took your Savior and mine and they nailed Him to a cruel giblet of shame. So He says, "Watchmen, what of the night?" And if we can look at the night and know our sins forgiven, because the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world has shone brightly in our hearts, then we know our sins are gone. And we can say, "The morning comes." And this year to come might usher us into the morning of the eternal day. And when that day comes on this earth, will be a mighty black night.
a mighty blackness. But I think tonight I speak to a group of people who know their sins are gone and know that they're looking for the dawn of a new day and are rejoicing in the hope of that day, that it may begin tonight. Before that midnight hour strikes, Christ may come. And we may be ushered home. How wonderful, how blessed that hope, that we should be with Him and like Him in a moment. Because the brightness of the glory of the sun has shone into the darkened hearts of ours, and tonight we can say, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Praise God for such a thing.